coming.
Really a tremendous honor to put people like that to this about tonight. Not that my words can encapsulate Rabbi Eagle's at all, but I think what's so unique and inspiring about such a person in front of us is the ability to transmit and to educate Torah in a clear, concise, in such a practical manner. Amongst other things, that's what makes him amazing, such a big Pesach, such a big Marvitz Torah. It's a tremendous honor and cover to have him address.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Barashas Harav Mara Da'asra. It's wonderful to be here with you. I'm not sure if I'm projecting. I've never spoken in a room quite so large. I don't think this is a very impressive sanctuary. So the task that I was assigned was to speak about Shmir Shabbos. So Rabbi Gettinger just said to me, so you're going to do like a kitzur of all of Hilchot Shabbos in the next 30 minutes or so? So no, I will not. But maybe we'll talk a little bit about the value of Shabbos and particularly its enhanced value during this particular tekufa. You know, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael on Motzai Shabbos and not in any mission or anything like that. I'm just going to Eretz Yisrael speaking in the yeshivas. And I asked someone, are the guys in the yeshiva all chizuked out? Meaning like different chizuk from every person that comes through. They just want like a regular shiur now, or they can they still use more divrei chizuk? He said, yeah, they're totally chizuked out. Don't come and give divrei chizuk. But having said that, certainly, when given the task to speak about Shabbos, I think it is not a stretch to say that the enhanced emphasis on Shabbos is something that is a totally appropriate and maybe the most appropriate response to what Klal Yisrael is experiencing. Obviously, in addition to Tefillah and Torah Be'ez Tzara, which are both Dinim Da'oraisa, that you don't need a rabbi to come and tell you. That's pretty explicit in the sources. But let me discuss a little bit about Shabbos's value in a time like this. First of all, we're familiar, many of us are probably familiar with the famous comment of the Meshech Chachma. I always hesitate to say the word famous because I once gave a drasha and I referred to something as famous, and Rabbi Maurice Lamb, Zechorna Levracha, used to daven in my shul, and he came over to me afterwards and he said, you should never call anything famous. I said, why not? He said, because some people there will have never heard of it, and you just made them feel stupid if you called it something famous. Your job is to uplift people, to educate people, not to make people feel like they are less than. So there's a Meshech Chachma that maybe some of you know, I don't know, it's not really so famous, but the Meshech Chachma talks about what happens when we don't have a shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. You know, shofar is an unusual kind of mitzvah, because most mitzvos, we have no idea what it's poel up in Shemayim, like what happens up in the heavens because we perform a particular mitzvah. But the mitzvah of shofar, Chazal tell us what happens. There's a Medrash Rabbah, I'll read you the words, U'b'sha'a she'Yisrael notlin es shofrehen, v'tokin l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem leaves the throne of judgment and instead sits on the throne of mercy. That's what happens. And this happens on Rosh Hashanah. So we know what it does. We know what it accomplishes. The Gemara therefore tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Shana She'in Tokin La B'Tchilasa, Marian La B'Sofa. That any year that we don't blow shofar at the beginning of the year, terrible things end up happening at the end of the year, because it didn't confound the Satan, it didn't quiet the Satan down, and it has calamitous results. So the Meshech Chachma famously asks the question, why is it that we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos? It seems like too high a risk. It's a very high risk proposition. Because of the teeny tiny risk that we might carry shofar, Dalet Amos and Rosh HaRabim, which is a teeny tiny risk. There's only one person in every shul that's blowing the shofar. So that person is going to go and decide that he needs, why would he carry the shofar? Not to shul, there's a shofar in shul already. He's going to carry the shofar because he's going to wake up on Rosh Hashanah morning and he's going to realize, I never got blowing shofar lessons. I don't even know what I'm doing. And he's going to go to an expert to teach him how to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah morning, that's what we're concerned about, right? That's what's going to happen, that he might carry a shofar to go take lessons. Meshech Chachma says, and for that concern, for that one guy that may or may not ever exist, we're going to give up on shofar on Shabbos, we're going to give up on shofar on Hashanah, which guarantees us, or which is our best shot at having a good year. And the Meshech Chachma therefore explains that, you know, and just to enhance the question a little bit, the way to view shofar is that it's like a medication. You know, normally you would say that whenever you don't have the capabilities to do a mitzvah, we apply the principle of onus rachmana patre, that if it's beyond your capability, so you're patre, you don't get punished for your inability to perform a mitzvah. But let's say a person requires a medication. A person is ill, rachmana litzlan, and they need a medication. And they have no way of acquiring that medication. The pharmaceutical company they used to produce it has shut down. For whatever reason, they have no way. It's an absolute onus. The person is still not going to be healed. Meaning, when something serves as a type of medication, and it's not only a question of do we check a box up in Shemayim, but it actually has a practical benefit to it, that practical benefit will be missing regardless of why we missed out on the mitzvah. The Meshech Chachma therefore explains that perhaps we're able to tap into what shofar would accomplish, precisely because we are showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're willing to forego it for the sake of His honor, for the sake of honoring Shabbos, which ultimately is the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To forego that opportunity in order to secure the Kvod Shemayim, the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by telling Hashem we're willing to give everything up for Hashem, we're experiencing our own Zuchus Akedah, says the Meshech Chachma. It's as if we are putting ourselves on the Akedah, and that's what the shofar ultimately represents. So from Rosh Hashanah this year, before we knew anything about what was going to be this year, there was this nervousness that settled in. We didn't know if the other shoe would drop and what it would look like when it did. And now, unfortunately, we do know. And the Meshech Chachma tells us the secret that the way to overcome that is by showing an enhanced kavod for Shabbos, an enhanced respect and honor for Shabbos. And the stories of Shmir Shabbos that have been emerging are abundant, and they are coming out daily. You don't need me to give you all of the stories that you probably have in your WhatsApp feed and your other social media feeds of videos of, you know, the woman on the Israeli news saying that she heard them screaming in Arabic outside, and she's holding her children, and she turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, "If you save me, then I'll keep Shabbos for the rest of my life." And inexplicably, they go to the next house. Or the story that I saw today. You don't have to go on social media today. I'll just give it to you all. I condensed it all. I have it all collated for you over here. So the woman from the non-religious kibbutz who started keeping Shabbos last year and never stayed in her kibbutz for Shabbos, because how could she stay in the kibbutz? It's not Shomer Shabbos, so she always went away for Shabbos. And then when that Shabbos, October 7th, she decided that Simchas Torah she was going to stay home because she was pregnant and it was difficult for her to travel. And she hears them screaming outside, and she hears them screaming in Arabic, and she hears the gunshots, and she hears everything that's going on. And once again, inexplicably, they pass by her house, and they later find on the mechablim, on the terrorists, the list of all the people in the neighborhood, because these were Arab workers that worked in these communities. And, they knew exactly what was going on. And they had a list. In this house, there are four children. And in that house, and on their house, it said, never home on Shabbos. They're never home on Shabbos. So you could just skip the house. It's a waste of time. So these stories about Shabbos and Shabbos and Shabbos, it's an unbelievable number of stories. So what do we do with that? I'm not sure what we do with that. But here's one thing I do know. Chazal tell us that there's a clear path to Geula. We daven for Geula every day. When we think about our Shemona Esrei, we always think of the first three brachos, the last three brachos, and the middle 12 or 13 brachos. But if you think about the middle 12 or 13, taking Avraham Malchin for a second, the last six are all about kind of hoping for Geula. Meaning the second half of the middle part of Shemona Esrei is pretty much all about hoping for Geula. And one of the reasons that we hope so badly for Geula is because we know that all of the tzaros that we have go away when there's Geula. There's not going to be that Shibud Malchios. We're going to be able to live. Gar Ze'ev Im Keves. The wolf and the lamb will live together. It's not just a restaurant. We're going to live we're going to live together in peace. We'll be able to live peaceful lives without having to worry about these threats. So what's the ticket? How do we get to Gula? So Chazal tell us, Il Male Shamri Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos. If we only observe two Shabbosos, we will properly, will then have a path toward Geula. Mishnah Brura has an introduction to the Sefer Mishnah Brura, which is very normal, because every Sefer has an introduction to the Sefer. It's often the best part of a Sefer, to read the introductions. Years ago, I gave a series of shiurim on introductions to Svarim, and I was very proud of that series, until one day I told Rav Shechter, you know, I'm giving a series of shiurim on introductions to Svarim, and he said, why? So, but I thought it was a good idea. So Mishnah Brura has an introduction to Mishnah Brura, which is a very normal thing to have. What's abnormal, what's unusual, is that he has a second introduction, specifically to the third volume of the Mishnah Brura, and that is the volume on Hilchos Shabbos. He does not have an introduction to the volume on the Halachos of the Yom Tovim. He does not have an introduction to the volume on the Halachos of Brachos. The volume of Hilchos Shabbos he has, and the Mishnah Brura describes over there how you can learn all the Mussar in the world about Shabbos, and it will not help, because you'll be learning Mussar about how important Shabbos is, and how nice Shabbos is, and how great Shabbos is, and you won't know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, you're not going to be able to be Shomer Shabbos. And he quotes Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz that somebody who hasn't learned Hilchos Shabbos is simply not a Shomer Shabbos Jew. So with that, I'd like to give a little bit of Mussar about Shmir Shabbos. So let's talk a little bit about Shabbos. You know, just before the Chet HaEgel, the Torah tells us about observing Shabbos. The psukim that precede the Chet HaEgel are the psukim that teach us about Shmir Shabbos. And there's a little five-volume sefer called the Tosefes Bracha, written by the author of Torah Tamima. It's his sefer on Chumash. People think the Torah Tamima is his sefer on Chumash. No, the Torah Tamima is his sefer where he puts together different Ma'amari Chazal. He has a little sefer called Tosefes Bracha, which is his commentary on Chumash, his shtikalach Torah, his little ideas from the author of the Torah Tamima. And he comments that this is an example, when the Torah puts Shabbos right before the Chet HaEgel, this is an example of a Kodesh Baruch Hu being makdim refuah lemachla, that Hashem decided to give us the medication before He gave us the illness. Because Shabbos is the antidote, Shabbos is what solves the problem of sins like the Chet HaEgel. To further develop the connection, Rav Elimelech Miljansk explains the line in davening, Ushnei luchos avanim harid biyado, V'chasuv bahem shmiras Shabbos. So he says, what do you mean, chasuv bahem shmiras Shabbos? Chasuv bahem, all ten, right? And perhaps, if it's the Luchos Rishonos, chasuv bahem, everything, according to the Midrashim. It had ten headings, but then it had everything on it. Why shmiras Shabbos? So the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Zayin and Beis tells us that due to the Chet HaEgel, on Shabbos, due to the Chet HaEgel, the letters flew off of the Luchos. So says Rav Elimelech Miljansk, it's possible that what that line of davening is suggesting to us is that all the letters flew off the Luchos except for Shmir Shabbos. The Moshe Rabbeinu came down with Luchos Avanim, and he sees the Chet HaEgel, and the letters fly off, but Shmir Shabbos remains. And the idea is that Klal Yisrael wasn't ready to benefit from the rest of Torah. But if they had this spiritual illness of the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to withhold the medication. And the medication is Shabbos. And He brought Shabbos to them. So how are we to understand that? What's the connection exactly between Shabbos and the Chet HaEgel? Furthermore, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, tells us, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol ha-meshamer Shabbos kihilchaso, afilu ovir avodah zarah kedor enosh mochlin lo. Anyone who keeps Shabbos kihilchaso, anyone who observes Shabbos properly, even if he does avodah zarah like the generation of Enosh, he'll receive a mechila for his terrible sin of avodah zarah. Once again, that Shabbos somehow solves avodah zarah. Shabbos solves Chet HaEgel. Shabbos solves avodah zarah. What does Meshamer Shabbos kehilchaso have to do with avodah zarah? And even furthermore, I, if you go into any svarim store nowadays, you will find, you know, pick any mitzvah, your favorite mitzvah in the world. Anyone have a favorite mitzvah? Lo sasei or asei? Give me a mitzvah, any mitzvah. Avodah zarah. You will find a sefer avodah zarah kehilchaso. right? Here's how you observe Avodah Zarah properly. You don't go into churches, you don't do that. I mean, there's a sefer on every single mitzvah in the Torah, Kilchasa. What was the first one of that genre? Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa, right? The Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa was the first one that had that title. You know why that was the first one that had that title? Because that's a phrase that Chazal actually used. They don't really talk about other mitzvahs, Kilchasa. That's just once Shmir Shabbos was popular, so they thought maybe people will think Rav Neivert wrote this also. So they put out Svarim with the same, with a similar title. But Shmir Shabbos is what we talk about, Kihilchaso. What does that mean, Kihilchaso? You're supposed to do every mitzvah, Kihilchaso. And if you're, what would have been lost if Chazal would have said, Kala Shomer, what's the phrase? Kol HaMishamer Shabbos, and left out the word Kilchaso. If they just would have said, Kol HaMishamer Shabbos Afilu Avir Avadzor Kedar Enosh Mochlin Lo. Would anything have been lost? Why did they have to add Kilchaso? What does Kilchaso do? So there is an idea. The Rambam explains the history of Avodah Zarah at the very beginning of Hilchos Avodah Chavim. And he explains that Enosh believed, as we do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Meaning, if you were going to come up with an example of an Ovid Avodah Zarah, who is like the worst kind of Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's a bad candidate. Because he actually believed in God. And he believed in a creator of the world. The problem is that he also believed that God then distributed power to the sun, the moon, the stars, and various constellations to run the world. So it's strikingly similar to the way the Ramban describes those who committed the sin of Chetah Egel, that they weren't denying God's hand in creation, they believed in God, they just thought that God had abandoned them. And he wasn't there for their everyday life, and he wasn't there for them in their time of need. And that an intermediary was necessary, and now their intermediary was gone, and now they're stuck. So it wasn't a lack of belief in the existence of God, in God creating the world. It was a lack of belief in an ability to remain connected. An ability to remain connected consistently to the Ribono Shel Olam. And if they can't connect him, he's not a part of their everyday lives. Shmir Shabbos is a testimony to the Ribono Shel Olam's role, not only in creation, but Shmir Shabbos alone, yes. Shmir Shabbos kihilchaso suggests more than that. When Shabbos is observed properly with a living halacha, new questions arise each week. Shabbos isn't a testimony to something in a distant past. It serves to guide our lives kihilchaso. It takes belief and it puts it into practice, week in and week out. And it reminds us that we always have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. The proper halachic observance of Shabbos involves a certain sense of joy, a certain sense of serenity, a certain willingness to forget about chasing the golden calf or whatever the golden calf is of our generation. So the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Kuf Yud tells us that in the Zechus of Shabbos, Rezocha to Geula. What's the connection? Geula means that we return to Hashem's land. We return to the king's palace. We return to a more direct hashkacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think, certainly, from people that I'm talking to, Jews never feel more distant than when we find ourselves in Chutz La'aretz in times of tzara. Meaning there's like this innate sense that we need geula, that we need to be more connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. We need to feel that we're under hashkachas Hashem, and the best place to feel that is in Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, observing Shabbos, that's one thing. That's an edus to Maisa Bereishis. But Shmir Shabbos kihilchaso is more than that. Shmir Shabbos kihilchaso says that I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and continues to run my life. And when we observe that, that's the antidote to the Chetah Egel, that's the antidote to Avodah Zarah. So I would like to turn to some Eitza about how one can experience Shabbos differently, particularly in an Eis Tzara. You know, the very first Shabbos after the attack, Shabbos Bereishis, I think every shul had like this Yomim Noraim kind of feeling. There was like this sense of even the Bali Tefillah that we chose and the way that we participated in Tefillah. It was a Yomim Noraim kind of feeling. Sadly, you see that starts to dissipate. That's something that I don't think the the tzara is leaving the center of our consciousness. Meaning it's all we talk about all day, whenever we have a conversation with somebody. You can't even ask somebody, how are you? And if you do, you feel bad that you just asked the question because the person is not sure how to answer that question. And it's all of our scrolling on the internet right now. We've gone from other mindless scrolling on the internet to just reading whatever we can, seeing whatever we can. But somehow, when it comes to tefillah, it begins to dissipate a little bit. I was talking to Moreno, our governor of Shechter Shlita, and I asked him, you know, how long do we say Avinu Malkeinu for? Because not every shul is doing, but Rav Shech is saying Avinu Malkeinu. So he said, really? Until the war is over. But when people start getting bored of it and people start not appreciating it, so then you should move it to Monday and Thursday. I said, now we should move it to Monday and Thursday? And then he like gave me this pained look. How could you move it now? There are still people dying every day. Well, as long as the war goes on, there are going to be people dying every day. That's the way wars work, unfortunately. But I would suggest that Yom Noram feeling of a Tefillah Shabbos, the sense of tapping into the Kedusha Shabbos, of feeling it fully, of sensing what Shabbos means, is something that should not be the first thing that leaves us as we grow bored, as we grow... I shouldn't use the word bored. That's not what I mean. Fatigued from all that we're experiencing. I think that a lot of people struggle with holding two emotions simultaneously. And Shabbos is an emotion of, it's supposed to bring up within us a sense of menucha. That's what Kedusha does. That's what being in the grasp of the Shechina does for a person. It just brings a certain sense of menucha sanefesh. And we feel anything but menuchas hanefesh. I heard an idea years ago from Rav Meir Tversky Shlita. My son Yisrael, who's in Rav Rosenzweig's shir, told me that Rav Rosenzweig said the same idea, that when the Rambam describes the concept of the golden mean, of not being too this or too that, right? The Rambam says you should find yourself in the middle on every midah. You shouldn't be, with the exception of arrogance, with the exception of gaiva. A person should be very, very far away from gaiva. But in general, you know, you shouldn't be too excitable that everything is the end of the world and everything is like, you know, is going to be something to get excited about. And you shouldn't also be like a rock or a stone that doesn't feel anything, that totally lacks emotion. So we often think of that Rambam as Rambam saying, so be somewhere right in the middle. You know, be someone who's somewhat excitable. Rav Tversky suggested, and apparently Rav Rosenzweig as well, that's not what the Rambam means. He does not mean you should be somewhat excited. Someone insulted you by not inviting you to their wedding, so you should be a little insulted. Right? Don't be very insulted like a lunatic, and don't be unaffected by a little... No, that's not what he means. You shouldn't be a little insulted. Everyone's got their choices to make or whatever. Get over it. Right? That you should be totally unaffected by something like that. But then there are other things that you should be deeply affected by. That should cut to our core, that should make us lose sleep at night. What the Rambam means is that we know when to apply each extreme and how to incorporate both extremes simultaneously into our personality. That someone shouldn't say about me that he is the most unemotional person in the world, or that he's such an emotional wreck that he just reacts to everything. They should be able to say that I know how to turn on the faucet at the right time. On each midah. And that's what he means, to simultaneously incorporate both extremes simultaneously. The idea that we can feel more than one thing at a time is fundamental to being a human being. A friend of mine told me a vart that I later found out was written by Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab writes in his sefer, a friend of mine, his name is Binyamin Palm, was in a shul in Queens on Simchas Torah. And word was trickling in, and we didn't know exactly what, but he was sitting in the shul, and they were doing hakafos, and he couldn't. He just couldn't do hakafos. So he was sitting in a corner saying Tehillim. So Rabbi Olbam, who was a big Talmud Chacham, came over to him, and Rabbi Olbam said to him, you know that after Kriyas Yamsuf, the angels wanted to sing Shira. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Ma'isi Yadai Tovim B'yam V'atem Omrim Shira, the loss of human life like that, you can't sing Shira at a time like that. And the angels were therefore not allowed to sing Shira. So the kasha that everybody asks is that there was a pretty famous song that was written right after Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, we sang Shira. As Yashir happened right after. What happened to Maisiyot? I told him, Biyam, Atam Omrim Shira. And there are a lot of really great answers to that question, but I have a new favorite, and that's Rav Schwab's answer. Rav Schwab says, you know how we have in Rashi in this week's parsha that an angel can only do one task. A malach can only do one thing at a time. So Rav Schwab suggests, if an angel is singing Shira, then they're not also saddened by the loss of human life. They can't do two at the same time. But a human being can incorporate multiple emotions simultaneously. And therefore, Klal Yisrael can sing Shira and also appreciate the tragedy of the loss of human life. Klal Yisrael is able to do all of that. As a Jew, we have to be able to experience a Shabbos fully with the full sense of Menuchas HaShabbos, of Kedushas HaShabbos, maybe not as celebratory. There may or may not be a concept called Simchas HaShabbos, but it's certainly not a fundamental concept of Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, yes. Oned Shabbos, yes. All of those are fundamental. Whether there is an actual thing called Simchas HaShabbos is at least debatable. There's a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, Rav Daniel Feldman, who maintains a list of svarim that he calls it svarim that may not exist. What he means by that is that the sefer is named after a concept that may or may not exist, that it's a machlokas whether the concept exists. So Kedushas Levi, for example. Kohanim have Kedusha. Does a Levi have Kedusha? Levi has something, machlokas, whether it's Kedusha. There's a sefer Kedusha, Oneg Yom Tov. Right? There's a concept of Simchas Yom Tov, it's a concept of Oneg Shabbos. Is there such a thing as Oneg Yom Tov? Debatable whether there's such a thing called Oneg Yom Tov. So I was very intrigued by that idea. I went over to him. I said, I heard you have a list. What else is on the list? He said, no, that's it. That's the list. Kedushas Levi and Oneg Yom Tov. We'll have to come up with others. But a person has to be able to experience all of these things simultaneously. Someone gave a beautiful mashal. They said, you know, imagine someone is going through a difficult illness in their family. Father or mother is very ill, and the person is feeling very stressed out. During that time, do you love your spouse any less? Probably not. Meaning you can experience an experience of love at the very same time that you experience an experience of some other very, very strong emotions. Knowing that we're feeling and we're going through something, I think it's incumbent upon each of us to figure out how our Shabbos could be different, how we could make proper changes. And not only Shabbos, obviously Tefillah and Torah as well. But I want to just offer maybe a couple of suggestions in the realm of Shabbos. You know, my mahalich, and I apologize, this is too presumptuous for being so direct, but I find that when you give just like actual suggestions, you never know. Sometimes people actually pick up on them and you hit a chord with somebody, as opposed to if you're just vague and you say, do Shabbos better. How? Like what? So I'm just going to give a couple of suggestions. My general mahalich in all of these kinds of things, with improvements to tefillah and to Shabbos and to avodah, is to always go for the lowest hanging fruit. And the lowest hanging fruit is the things that you're already doing, and you could just, you know, add a little kavana, a little something to make it easier. See, here's a very simple one. We're about to change the clock, right? This Motzei Shabbos, we're about to change the clock. Shabbos is about to end. And this Shabbos ends when it ends, and then next Shabbos is going to end an hour early, more than an hour before that. So we're all probably going to be getting into a zone for the next few months where we're going to be eating dinner on Motzei Shabbos. Well, guess what? There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about Malava Malka. Once you're doing it anyway, so have kavana that you're doing it l'shem Malava Malka. And then when you're having that kavana and you go through a whole winter having kavana that I'm not just eating pizza, I'm eating Malava Malka, then maybe when we change the clocks back, that will stick. And even if, you know, like me, you suffer the Ashkenazi indigestion, you know, from eating late at night or whatever. It's so cholent outside, Ashreichem, you know, but not for me. But even maybe something like that can stick once you're doing it anyway. To do it a little more purposefully. I'm not just having pizza. I'm having Malava Malka, because that's what a Jew does. A Jew has a Malava Malka. You want to light a candle on the table for Malava Malka? Good. Matov Menayim. Do that. You want to talk about David HaMelech? Great. Something. Make it feel like a Malava Malka. Another suggestion. And this one is a harder one, I'll grant. You're in shul when Shabbos ends. Let's say you come from Arav Motzai Shabbos. And I find, I don't know where I'm from at least, there is no emptier place in the world than shul 5 minutes after the end of Marv. Meaning, like, everyone's out. Everyone's got things to do. The phone's got to be checked. Everyone's out. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa called Tosefes Shabbos. To be mosif mechol al hakodesh. To add a little extra kedusha in your life. There are even extra words you can say to entertain yourself during that time. You could say, v'yitin l'chadar, all these tefillos. 5 minutes of just allowing yourself to absorb Shabbos for a little bit longer. I was going to suggest 5 minutes early on Friday. That's a little much. That's a lot to ask. Maybe on Friday when you take 3 steps back from Shmona Esrei and Mincha to say, Hareini Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. That at that point, you can already be Mekabel Shabbos, you finish Mincha. So to just mindfully, what you're doing anyway, you're not doing any Malacha anymore at that point anyway, mindfully, be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. To bring a little more Shabbos into the world. I have to be honest with you that my personal Kabbalah for this Tekufa is not Shabbos related. It's Geula related though. And as we said, Geula and Shabbos go hand in hand. My personal Kabbalah, I heard from Rabbi Saul Reisman that he took this upon himself a while back, I guess. You know, there's a big bechina that we get up in Shemayim after 120 years. And we have the questions in advance. The Gemara tells us exactly the 6 questions that we're going to be asked when we go up to Shemayim after 120 years. I once heard a rabbi darshan on Yom Kippur, and he gave a drush about the 4 questions that were going to be asked after 120 years. He said, Pesach is not only a night for 4 questions, but Yom Kippur, because we're thinking about existentially what our life is going to be like, and we have 4 questions. And he went through 4 of the questions that the Gemara asked. So I asked him afterwards, aren't there 6? And he said, you know that, and I know that, but no one else in the audience knew that. But there are 6. You can look it up. It's easy to remember that there are 6 because it corresponds to the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. But one of the questions is, Tzipisa li Yeshua, did you hope for salvation? I don't even know what that looks like, Tzipisa li Yeshua. When was the last time you dedicated time? Said, you know what, now is my moment of Tzipisa li Yeshua. So you could do it with any of the 6 brachas in Shemona Esrei that I mentioned, but usually by then we're spaced out. But here's when you wake up in Shemona Esrei. When do you wake up? You take 3 steps back. Oh, I'm doing something. Where am I going? Oh, okay, I'm davening. And then you say, Yehi Ratzon. And you daven, Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash, B'meher V'yameinu. So just to be mindful in that moment, that this is my moment, 3 times a day. And when I started doing this, I was hitting 1 out of 3, and then it went to 2 out of 3. Now I'm getting it pretty much 3 out of 3. Still failing sometimes. But my moment of Tzipis L'Yeshua, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask me, you know, 6 questions. Kavati Yitam L'Torah, I failed miserably. But Tzipis L'Yeshua, I'll say, okay, 3 times a day. I tried. I was Mitzapel Yeshua. And one final thought to leave you with, and I know Marav is coming up. It's clear in Halacha. It's a Tshuvas HaRashba. It's a Bach on the side of Shulchan Aruch. And it's Chaye Adam. That when a person is Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, when we say the word Shemayim Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what I'm about to tell you is not going to be popular, and it's not going to be feel good, but it's just true. So sometimes you just have to say the truth because it's true. The halacha is that we have to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim when we say kriya shema. What does it mean to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim? So we think it means that I accept that Hashem is God. I accept that there is a God. I accept that God created the world. I accept that God gave me mitzvahs. Says the Tshuvas HaRashba. It's quoted in the Bach and it's quoted la halacha by the Chayei Adam. That when a person says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they're supposed to think that I'm being mekabel ol malchus shemayim to the extent that I'm willing to give up my life for the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For many, many years throughout Jewish history, Shmir Shabbos was just that. It was Mesiris Nefesh. It was giving up our livelihood. For many, many, many tkufos in Jewish history, it was more, it was actually giving up our lives for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today, in Eretz Yisrael, the number of 18-year-olds that are eager to risk their lives to protect Am Yisrael. To risk their lives through it. You've seen the videos. You've all seen the videos. We don't have to deny, right? The chayalim that are screaming, Kabbalas Olmach Shemaim, right before they go into battle. What's that about? It's expressing Kabbalas Olmach Shemaim that I'm willing to give up my life for the Ribbono Shel Olam. To have that kavana when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to exercise that muscle. We're here in Chutz Laaretz, we don't have that same experience as Bnei Yisrael of dropping off our children at their base and not knowing when, if you'll see them again. A Mesiras Nefesh of a parent. But to have that focus of Mesiras Nefesh, that's part of what Shabbos represents as well. So again, what we spoke about is how important Shabbos is this year in particular, when we didn't have shofar at the beginning of the year. The stories that keep coming out and the emphasis on Shabbos, and how important it is to make Shabbos different, and why Shabbos is the antidote to Avodah Zarah, because it's the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like living in Eretz Yisrael, it's like Geula. And the way to do that is by experiencing it fully, and perhaps the path to experiencing it more fully is by taking something, one of these small things, Malav HaMalka, Tosefa Shabbos, something small that just enhances our experience of Shabbos and can have a spillover effect into our overall ruchnius. And Be'ez Hashem will be Shomer Shnei Shabbos Kil Chaso, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula on account of that.